Welcome back to that 590 show. Joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is the longtime columnist for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can read him at stltoday.com and follow him on Twitter at Gordo's Zone. Jeff Gordon, how are you, sir?
Hey, how you doing, everybody? Not as happy, I guess, as Predators fans, huh? How about that?
How about that? I was reading your latest piece about the Nashville Predators, and your first sentence, you already had me laughing. You said Blues fans are suffering from a severe case of Predators envy these days. I thought that was a very clever play on words there, because I know what you were really trying to say.
Yeah, it's tough, man. They used to be the little brother, right? The one you would make fun of, and all those years as being a really bad expansion team, very boring team, nothing, they'd come in, you even wouldn't want to go watch them play. They were just a non-entity. And now here they are playing for the Cup, and poor Blues fans they're feeling inadequate, let's say.
And I was make the argument that they probably have the most fun atmosphere right now in the NHL. You know, the fans are loud. They had the chance. It's like a college football atmosphere. You have all the country singers that live in Nashville that make cameos. Kings of Leon were there. I saw it at a game once. You have the Titans offensive linemen crushing beer cans on their head. It just seems like they've made they've done a good job of really making that a fun atmosphere.
You know, and you go back some time ago because the product was so boring for so long, and there was a real concern that the franchise could move, that some of the ownership changes that the franchise has had that really did it threaten the future of the team. But, you know, this latest stretcher, the last few years, the way they've built the crowd energy, the way the team has become, more exciting with more exciting players, really those folks have responded, and now here they are. I wouldn't say they're any sort of a favorite going into the Cup final, but you've got to pay attention.
And when you look at the work that Nashville's GM, David Poile, has done, and you see the players that he's accumulated, whether through trades or whether through the draft, and they're, what, $17 million under the cap, I think Cam Jansen told me as he was leaving the studio. If you're Tom Stillman, don't you sit Doug Armstrong down and go, okay, I want you to look over to the Southeast and that team there. How are they $17 million under the cap with all that talent, and they're in the Stanley Cup playoffs, or the Stanley Cup finals, rather, and we're right up against the cap, and we lost in the second round? How's that happen?
Well, of course, that cap, they ought to enjoy that cap space while they have it, because Philip Forsberg's gone crazy for him, and he's going to get one of those ginormous contracts. And you look at a guy like Ryan Ellis, who was an absolute stud against the Blues. Now he's going to get a big contract. So, the point is, I think they'll be good for a long time. The cap thing may not last the space, but I tell you what, the team will. And if I look at, two key things they did, I mentioned in the column, one, they drafted Seth Jones, the defenseman, when they already had a lot of defensemen because he was the best player at the time, and eventually flip him for the center that they've needed for so long, just as the Blues needed. And Ryan Johansson really responds to the new environment. And then, a real gutsy move. Shea Weber with that huge contract and a lot of miles on that body, they move him for P.K. Subban, who's got a lot of energy and a very dynamic guy in Nashville. I think those two moves, and then, basically a renaissance for Pekka Rinne and a lot of patience with those other young guys. And here they are, man. Here they are.
When you watch the Blues and the Predators in that second round of the NHL playoffs, did it seem like the Predators fans were having more fun than the Blues fans? Because to me, it kind of seemed like they did.
Well, they don't have, I guess. The Blues fans, with the playoffs, they're sort of, we're not happy to be here. We're mad because we don't have a cup. And some for a lot of
That's a good way
fans,
to put it.
There's a lot of angst and a lot of frustration built up. This team, this year I thought was a pleasant surprise to get to the second round. Nashville's a tremendously pleasant surprise to be where they are. And, their fans are kind of whooping and hollering, and a lot of them are new to the sport. Meanwhile, the Blues have this history going back to the 60s, and there's, a lot of torment there, too, for Blues fans. So, maybe the psyche of the Blues fans, all that's taken a toll over the years, and the Preds fans are just new to the stuff, and a lot of them are just football fans killing time, but they're having fun while they're doing it.
Jeff Gordon from STLtoday.com joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at Gordo's Zone. Gordo, is there any way that the Blues can maybe make a trade for a top-line center and still hold on to Colton Parayko? Is there any way they can do that?
Yeah, you know, that's going to be the guy everybody wants, of course, besides Tarasenko. And, you know, and I think the near-term challenge they have is because they need to take care of Parayko, and getting rid of the Laterra deal will be the challenge. And that's one they're not going to be able to meet. I mean, Jeremy Rutherford's joke with me that you would have to throw Tarasenko into a Laterra trade to get somebody to take Laterra. That's how not valuable he is
now. Laterra looks like he's skating with a piano behind his back.
Yeah, so I think when you look down the road and, you know, Stastny's contract's up in a year, Bo Meester in a couple of years, you get Laterra in a couple of years, there's going to be a lot of flexibility. You know, I think you're going to see probably the best chance for Armstrong to make a big move maybe a year or two down the road. And so you say, okay, what happens in the meantime? Well, you know, they've got to hope that they can revive Laterra. They got to hope that Fabry makes a big difference coming back healthy and ready to go, that Schwartz is the guy they saw in the playoffs, and that, you know, some of these younger guys like Barbashev and Sanford that are good young players, that they start to evolve sooner than later. So it's I think the Blues will be a better team next year, but without that number one center, without that guy that can really just control play on the power play and shoulder those big minutes, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to get to the ultimate prize.
You mentioned Zach Sanford just then, and you mentioned him in your column as well, that perhaps he can develop into that big center that the Blues desperately need. And when they made that trade, or when they traded Kevin Shattenkirk, and he was basically the big name they came in return, and I saw a picture of him online, I'm like, this can't be this is someone's kid, right? This isn't the player that the Blues got, because he just looks so slim. Hopefully the Blues will have him in the weight room during the offseason and put some pounds on him, because maybe right now I don't think he can be that big center.
Yeah, he's certainly got a very specific marching order on that front. Now, remember with him, he came out of college maybe a year sooner than a lot of guys do. Then he only he reached the NHL this year with really his first year pro. A lot of times it takes a guy, you know, 2, sometimes 3 years at the AHL level to materialize. So, you know, in a sense, he's arrived ahead of schedule, and it looked that way too. I mean, I like the fact he can make that couple of quick moves. He's shifty for a big guy. He skates well, but like I say, the way the game is played now, it's brutal out there, particularly in the playoffs. He's going to need probably 15, 20 pounds without losing that skating step to get there.
Game 6 tonight between Pittsburgh and Ottawa. Pittsburgh can wrap it up tonight with a victory. And they're talking about this game in Ottawa tonight may not sell out. I'm not sure exactly how that happens in Canada when you have one of the more marketable players in the NHL coming into play in a closeout game. Are they afraid that this is over? They don't want to see another team celebrate on their home ice? What's going on with America's hat there, Gordo?
That's extreme pessimism. I mean, Ottawa should just be like Nashville, and to a degree the Blues, is, you know, second-round team. Just glad to be there. I mean, it's a good story. The goaltender, Craig Anderson, his wife battling cancer. He's on and off the team. The team rallies around his situation. You know, they make an inspired run. Dion Phaneuf running over people, reviving his career on the blue line. You know, it was a hell of a story. I mean, just because you know your team is not nearly as good as Pittsburgh and your fear that you could be another 7-0 coming your way is no reason to bail. You know, if they don't sell out, that's shame on them. You know, when you're in that scenario and you're a fan, you show up, and if they get beat, you give the boys a hand for really a good year under a lot of adversity. I don't get that. If it's a team like Montreal that was disappointing you and it's beneath you to go watch them bow out, that maybe that's – I could kind of see it, but, you know, they were just glad to be there, man.
And I don't even know what else are they competing against in Ottawa. Like, what else is there to do? I mean, I'm not asking that rhetorically. I mean – I don't think the CFL season's going on. They don't have a Major League Baseball team. They don't have an NBA team that's in the playoffs yet, so I don't know what else you could be doing in Ottawa tonight other than going out. And like you said, you know, if this is the end of it, at least telling your team, hey, thanks for a good season.
Yeah, I guess it's what else you got to do tonight? Feel sorry for yourself. I guess that's what Ottawa fans are doing, but come on. And I, you know, you hear a lot of that with Blues fans too, and it's understandable, but because the frustration's great, and you know, and that's only going to intensify now going forward as another year goes by, and another team the Minnesota, the North Stars, with John Casey played for the Cup, got beat. The Lightning won a Cup. The Hurricanes won a Cup. You know, the Nationals playing for a Cup. This is getting painful for Blues fans.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I always kind of laugh when people say that the St. Louis Blues are the Chicago Cubs of the NHL, when I think they're more like the Philadelphia Eagles of the Chicago of the NHL. Because the Eagles, when you look at their the NFC East, everybody else in that division has won a Super Bowl but you, like multiple Super Bowls but you. So to me, the Blues are more like the Philadelphia Eagles of the NHL, not the Cubs.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of lonely. They're going to keep making that circuit in the division. They're going to look up and see those Cup banners, right?
Yeah, they are.
Boy, if Nashville wins it, ouch.
I think the one that probably hurt me the most is when Carolina won it. Like, I always forget that Carolina won a Stanley Cup. Like, whenever they play the Blues, you're like, oh, yeah, that team won the Stanley Cup. It's been some years.
Don't worry, everybody.
But, like, how the hell did that happen? How the hell did Carolina win the Stanley Cup?
And they keep trotting Cam Ward out there, the goaltender, who's awful, and it just makes it all the more ridiculous that they actually did.
It was the first Stanley Cup after the lockout, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, I have a hard time with all the lockouts and stuff.
I do, too.
It was one of, like, the first two or three, so I think everyone just kind of forgets and blocks out those years in the NHL overall, but Carolina's, you know, rudely making us remember.
Well, you think about their fan base, which is, you could probably put them in your studio in terms of the diehards.
You're right about that.
It's so bad that you know, and they who knows how long they'll even be in Carolina, but they had a parade.
Send them back to Hartford. Make them the Whalers again, even though there's no way they'll go back to that name.
Best logo in sports.
Best logo in sports. There's no question that was the best logo in sports.
The Whale. Yeah, I saw the Whale play at the old Civic Center. I remember those days.
While we got you on the phone, Gordo, final quick question. Your thoughts on this Missouri basketball team? They just keep getting top recruit after top recruit. Do you keep pinching yourself thinking, oh, my God, this can't be real?
Well, yeah, next year is going to be great, obviously. You got a couple of NBA-caliber guys and maybe a couple other guys who could develop into that down the road from, you know, getting absorbing beatings from the likes of Eastern Illinois and UMKC the last couple of years to having a squad that should make the tournament, given the fact that they have, you know, not one but two frontline guys. Like, Kevin, you know, the Porter brothers, if they both play, imagine having like two Kevin Durants on the same team. And if you remember how Kevin looked when he was a freshman with Texas, it was ridiculous. And I think that could happen for Mizzou. The other guys just get out of the way.
I saw that they could have their front court. Everybody could be 6'10". 6'10", 6'10", 6'10".
You know, hey, look, Reed Nico's 6'10", but they're 6'10", and then they're 6'10".
You're right about that. Gordo, thank you for making time for us this evening, sir. We appreciate your thoughts as always, and we look forward to having you on again soon.
All righty, guys. Take care.
That is the great Jeff Gordon from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can read him at stltoday.com. And, of course, follow him at Gordo's Zone. For the second time this evening, let's head to that 590 Show Sports Update desk on our very own Matt Rocchio.
And speaking of Mizzou sports, they are back in action. The Tigers and the Aggies of Texas A&M, they're playing in a little college baseball action today as it's the last ramp up before the tournament. Mizzou has jumped out to a 12-7 lead. That game was delayed a little bit while ago when they had a 3-run lead. They have juiced that up to a 5-run lead, 12-7 over Texas A&M in the top of the eighth. That game is back in action after the weather delay. Cardinals and Dodgers in action later tonight. The game won't start till 9 p.m. our time. Lance Lynn takes on Clayton Kershaw. And here's the Cardinal lineup for today. Fowler, Piscotty, Carpenter, Jerko playing second base and batting cleanup. Third base will be manned by Peralta. Molina playing catcher, batting fifth. Diaz, seventh, and playing shortstop. And then Grichik playing left field and batting eighth. And then, of course, followed by the pitchers. Spot and a little bit earlier today, Tyler Lyons was activated from the DL, but Sam Tuivalu was optioned to AAA Memphis. The NFL had a crazy day with NFL owners meetings. Lots of big changes around there. First of all, the 2021 Super Bowl will no longer be played in Los Angeles. They have moved that Super Bowl to Tampa Bay, although LA will still receive the 2022 Super Bowl. Commissioner Roger Goodell has backed off on some touchdown celebrations. They're now going to allow them to use the football as a prop, make snow angels, among others. And also, the owners agreed to shorten the regular season overtime period from 15 minutes to 10 minutes. I'm Matt Rocchio with your 590 Sports Report.
Thank you very much, Matt Rocchio. Eric from Quality Control sent me a tweet. He approved of that Jeff Gordon interview. So it looks like we are already improving from last night. And to Stanley and Big Al, I'm sorry. I didn't know that you wanted to ask Gordo a question until we already had him off the line. So I apologize for that. Let's take a commercial break. And then coming up on the other side, Howard Balzer from BalzerFootball.com. And the NFL channel on SiriusXM will be joining us. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.